Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
Welcome to Encounter Night. Up here we have Encounter Nights are for followers of Jesus to gather in an expectant and safe atmosphere where we depart from the normal to pursue and experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly and minister to others. So that's what we're going to continue to do tonight. I'm going to talk some on blessing your spirit. If you missed part one last time from Matt, I think we're still putting those up on our website for you to be able to go back and listen to. But we're going to talk a little bit more in depth tonight about blessing our God-given human spirit. So let's start with prayer. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you for the things that you are teaching us. Lord, for meeting us here tonight. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to give us practical ways that we can grow, that we can bless one another, that we can minister to one another. God, just direct my words as I share. Amen. All right, so I just want to start with talking about the human spirit a little bit. And I'm going to say human spirit because I'm really wanting to differentiate between the Holy Spirit and the spirit that God gave us. You know, when God created Adam and he breathed life into him, that ruach, that breath of God, I believe was the spirit. You know, it's that likeness of God that he put in Adam. And when he knits us together in our mother's womb, right, it's like he's putting this spirit that came from him in with our body and our soul, knitting them together so that they can function as a whole. So I want to read a few scriptures because sometimes I think we don't even realize how the soul, the spirit, and the body are the three parts of us. And even though we talk about that, I think sometimes there's the confusion of, are we talking about the Holy Spirit or are we talking about our spirit? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will do it." And that just speaks of the spirit, the soul, and the body, that we have those three parts. And then Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So again, we have the soul and the spirit. There's a difference between the two. So again, I believe our spirit is the part of us that comes from God and returns to God. And in Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, "Remember your creator before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the spring is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." Our spirit is eternal. It comes from God and it will return to God. Another thing about our spirit is that our spirit has memory, will, and emotions. And so I'm going to go through some scriptures that just show this with Jesus as our example. So in Matthew 26:41, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the disciples, you know, are there, and he's asking them to stay awake and to pray. And he says, keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the spirit had a will that had they been able to tap into their spirit man, I believe it would have been easier for them to stay present in that moment. But they were falling into that place where they were tired. They were probably tired emotionally and physically, and so falling into that place. And so to me, that's just speaking of how the spirit has will. It's willing. Our spirit can feel emotions. So when Lazarus passed away in John 11, 32 and 33, it says, so when Mary came to the place where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. That's little s spirit, not Holy Spirit. That was his spirit, and was troubled. And in another translation, it says Jesus was grieved of spirit. So his spirit man felt the pain that they were feeling. I'm sure his soul also had emotion, and that he was feeling it in his soul and in his body, but this also speaks of the spirit. When Jesus was going to be betrayed, that's another place where it says that he became troubled in spirit. So our spirit has the ability to feel and to have emotion. Our spirit can be discerning and is discerning. There was a place in Mark 2, verses 5 through 8, where Jesus is out praying for people, and there's the paralyzed man, and he says to him, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes and the Pharisees were sitting around, and they were thinking something in their heart. And Jesus discerned that, it says, in his spirit. So he was discerning what they were saying, and he asked them, why are you thinking this in your hearts? So I believe that just like Jesus is the example with his human spirit, because he was fully God, fully man, I believe that these are examples of how Jesus engaged with his spirit to be able to, like, leave us that model that we could do the same things. So our spirit can be wounded or crushed. It is affected by the things that happen to us in our lives. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, through the end, and then chapter 7, verse 1, says, just for context, I'm going to read a little bit more of this one. It says, do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and lawlessness share together? Or what does light have in common with darkness? Or what harmony does Christ have with Belial? Or what do believers share with unbelievers? Or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. And then this is a promise of the Lord that's next. It says, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So God also promises, I will be their father, they'll be my sons and daughters. And the verse right after that is 2 Corinthians 7, 1. And it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So there are things that can affect our spirit man that we don't realize. And I think, even myself as a child, I think that my understanding was that when we get saved, that our spirit just was kind of sealed and done, and nothing could touch it. But what I began to understand, I'm going to give you some examples, like out of my life and my journey, but what I began to understand probably about 20 years ago when I started to really dig into this was that our spirit man was created by God to help nurture our soul and body, but also to be the part of us that would be forward and working with our soul and our body, but also leading with the Holy Spirit. So as our spirit is submitted to the Holy Spirit, then our soul and our body can kind of be yoked together with Jesus, our spirit, our soul, our body working together, instead of the space where it feels like the tension, where our soul can be more forward and more in charge. So we're reacting out of things instead of responding by the Spirit. So just a couple more scriptures, and then I'll jump into some stories and some practical things. Our spirit can be impacted by brokenness. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So again, our spirit can be impacted by the things that we experience in our life. And then we're called to worship in spirit and truth. And I don't know why, but one of my favorite sections of scripture in the Bible is Mary's song. It's in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47 is what I'm going to read you. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior.'" There was a part of her spirit that was rejoicing, but at the same time, she's recognizing that, well, my soul is exalting God, but my spirit is engaging with him in a way that I haven't before. And so she sings about that. And then one last is John 4, and that's verses 23 and 24. It says, "But the hour has come, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit." Now that's capital S, Holy Spirit. "And those who worship him must worship in spirit," little s again, "and truth." So it really, in Scripture, does differentiate between the Holy Spirit and our God-given human spirit. And so I have come to believe that when God brings our spirit and he knits us together, this is my opinion, that I can go back to the verse that says everything that we need for life and godliness, right, will be given to us. And I believe that our spirit comes somewhat what I call fully loaded, that we have a spirit that's placed inside of us. The spirit in a baby in the womb has the same ability as the spirit of us today as adults. There's not a difference. It's not like we get a tiny spirit. It's like God brings the spirit and knits it together. So I think that there are a lot of things that we can do that maybe we haven't in the past, or we haven't understood how to do. So I just want to share some stories and a few things with you that I think will make this practical, and then give you some things that we can do to grow and develop our spirit so that we can walk spirit forward, is the way I say it for me. So first, you know, we're born into what to me I would say is more of a soulish world. Like everything from the time we're born and even as we grow, I mean, if you look at a commercial, it's all about go and buy this car and, you know, this convertible and put the top down and your, you know, your hair's blowing in the wind and all of a sudden you're supposed to be free, as if this car that you buy is going to bring freedom. But we know that's not true. But it's like the world really takes the fleshly desires and the soulish comforts and needs that we have, and it tries to kind of push those things as, this is what you need to be whole, to be free. This is how you need to live. But really what we need is for our spirit man submitted to the Holy Spirit, right, to be in the lead with Holy Spirit. And then for our soul and our body to understand Like sometimes when I first started to understand this, my soul was starting to grow and get into that place where I'm trying to walk, where my spirit is forward. And my soul is like, wait a minute. No, I feel this way. I want this. We need to go this way. And so over time, we learn that if we engage with our spirit, our soul, and our body, we can talk to our spirit, our soul, and our body. David spoke to his soul. I mean, there's a lot of spaces where I believe, people did that even in scripture. But we can engage with who we are in a way that brings us into alignment. So the body needs the soul and the spirit to function, right? So our body's not going to be able to function without our soul, without our spirit. Our soul needs the body and the spirit to function. Like the soul without the body is like a computer without software, right? It can't really function. But the spirit itself does not need the soul or the body to function, to be whole, to be able to engage with God. An example of that would be a person that has surgery. And let's say they are having heart surgery. And in the middle of the surgery, something goes wrong and their heart stops. So for this time period, they're dead. And a lot of times you'll hear the same story repetitively over and over, that the spirit of that person will go up maybe into the corner of the room, will look back down and see what's happening in the room. People are scurrying around. Things are happening. The body and the soul are not awake. They're not functioning. They're not feeling. But the spirit is. And a lot of those stories is they'll go through like a portal or a vortex, or somehow they're like in another place. They may meet Jesus. They may see someone that's already gone home before them and is in heaven. But, you know, they'll come back and say, but, you know, they said that I needed to come back and, you know, do whatever, you know, live out my time here on earth, go love well, whatever it is that happens. And then their spirit comes back as if it's sent back, comes back, hovers in that corner of the room and sees what's happening, and then re-enters the soul and the body. And that person is, maybe they're working on them and they're revived and they come back to life. But that in itself shows that the spirit is fully alive. It's able to function. It has memory because it brings back the memory of the encounter, because the soul is not having that memory. The spirit is. So that's just an example of how that our spirit is really independent and able to engage God in spaces. So, you know, what does that really mean for us? I'm going to tell you a couple of stories from my life, because I feel like experience is something that sometimes helps more than just facts or just trying to explain something. So I grew up in a really fearful home. Lots of fear, lots of torment. Most of my life, really. I mean, if somebody got sick, it was like the thought process was to the very worst, like that they're probably going to die. It was really hard because, you know, there was torment involved in that. And there were just many, many years. I grew up my whole life in this place of fear. So when I was a young adult, I was like, I need to be healed of this. I believe that, you know, God can remove these things, that he can come in, that he can heal me. So I started searching for, I went to all kinds of ministries. And really what was happening in the ministry, though, is that most of the time back, and this was years, like 20 years ago or more, people were ministering to the soul more than they were the spirit. So I was getting a lot of really good tools. I'm not saying that, I mean, all of that was good things. It taught me things. It gave me tools. I would walk away with maybe a little bit more freedom, but just not fully free, not fully able to just like really be rid of that. And I went through many, many years of all kinds of ministry from all different ministers. I traveled and did that. I would get up and be the guinea pig. I mean, I was going after this thing because I wanted to be free. And so years later, when I started to learn about blessing your spirit and I really grabbed hold of it, I started to speak to my spirit, minister to my spirit. I'll share some of how I do that with you. But what happened is all of a sudden, all of this ministry that had been done that just didn't seem to grab hold, when my spirit, what I would say, came forward, came into the place of dominion that God intended it to, that it could help to nurture the soul and the body because my spirit was getting whole. All of a sudden, it was like domino effect, and all this work that I had done all these years that had just never really landed in here started to become real. And it was like my spirit was able to help me receive so many things that had been sitting there and the work had been done, but it just wasn't finalized. And so it changed my life when I got hold of this concept of, wow, our spirit with the Holy Spirit is really meant to lead and guide us and to keep us out of these places where our soul runs ahead, where we make a decision based on soul or flesh rather than by the Spirit. It really did change my life to engage this. So I'm going to tell you a few stories of how I've implemented things and then how it affected my life. So the first thing that I want to share is one day my husband called. We were at North Point at the time, probably, I'm guessing it may have been 5-6 years ago or a little bit longer. And one day I was driving up into the parking lot at work and I get a phone call from my husband. And when I answer the phone, what he says to me is, "Hey, I think you need to come home and take me to the emergency room." Well, there's no context. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's wrong. And so what happens is my soul is wanting to, like, fear set in, like the what ifs, all of those things. My body starts to shake. That was common for me for a long time, that if something scared me, that my body would immediately start to shake. And I realized in this moment, I'm still on the phone. I mean, it's in probably 30 seconds to a minute that all of this happens, that I said to myself, "Spirit, I call you forth. And right now I'm saying, turn your face toward the Father and find out what's needed for the soul and the body. Now, soul and body, you will settle because we don't live here. This is the old way. We don't live here anymore." And by the time I got that prayer, it wasn't even out. It was like everything that had worked its way up and created the whole feeling that I had was completely gone, and I was in total peace. So I let Matt know. I think it might have been a staff meeting day, but I let him know, and I drove home, but I drove home in total peace. I mean, worshiping the Lord, everything's great, not worried, not all upset, just complete peace. I get home, I take my husband's hand, I pray for him. We get in his truck to go, and he says, "Oh, by the way, I need to stop by a job site and drop off some parts before we go to the emergency room." Years before that, that would have set me off. I mean, it would have been too much. I said, "Okay, sure." Anyway, we went to the hospital. He cut part of his thumb off. Thankfully, it didn't get the bone, so it wasn't as major as it could have been. But we went through all of that appointment. And the cool part was, so I think I went to work that afternoon. He went back to work. I mean, everything got settled. But when I got home that night, I heard him come into the laundry room. And I would go greet him and give him a hug. And I go in and he just starts to weep. And he looked at me and he said, "You are not the same woman. What God has done in you is like amazing." because he watched a woman that he'd been married to that freaked out about everything, because I grew up that way, to a woman that could say, Spirit, you get to lead with Holy Spirit here. Soul, we don't need to live this way. And it's that simple, right, that something shifts in the atmosphere of us. So that's one example. Here's another example of how my spirit has helped me. So years ago, I used to have eye infections a whole lot, and I had gone to these, we would go swim at these big places where there's cars on the bottom and no telling what's in the water. But I had gotten some kind of eye infection that was pretty severe, and I was going through all of these steroid drops and everything they were trying to do to get my eye to heal, and we could not figure out how to take care of this. And one day, I knew about the spirit and all this stuff, and so I'm getting dressed, and I thought, my goodness, why haven't you thought about this? So I look myself in the mirror, and I say, Spirit, I call you forth. Turn your face toward the Father and find out what's needed for my eye. Now, I know I was praying, you know, heal it, Lord, right? It wasn't like I wasn't going after the Lord. We still do all of those things. This is in addition. But it hadn't been healed and it hadn't been settled. So anyway, it wasn't very long after I spoke to my spirit. I go about my business. And all of a sudden, I'm walking along, and I hear the word silver. And I think, that's interesting. But I knew immediately I was supposed to put colloidal silver in my eye. Now, I'd never thought of doing that. That would have been something that I probably, you know, just out of safety, it would have been, would you really do that? But I knew that it was the Lord. I knew that this had been the answer to me sending my spirit to find out what was needed. So I put a couple of drops of that in my eye. The next day, it was almost 100% gone. I did it like one more time. Never to this day have had another eye infection. I battled them, you know, way before that, a lot. But that was a way that I was able to engage and reach into a place where my spirit could turn toward the Lord and find out something. Now, he answers us in all different ways. I would put this in the category of I was learning something, and he took what I was learning and gave me a situation where I could apply it so that I would learn more about it. So he could have done it any way he wanted to. He chose to do it through my spirit. So my husband had a stroke 12 years, I think, this year. And one of the tools that the Lord gave me when he was going through rehab, when he was in surgery and all of that space, was we had gotten to the hospital, we'd gotten through all the hard things, I'd signed for him to go into surgery, and pretty soon after that, the Lord said to me, go find a quiet place and bless your husband's spirit. Well, we did that already, so I was very familiar with it. And as I began to bless his spirit, the Lord was giving me specific things that he was wanting me to speak into his spirit. Like, you know, have the spirit, like bless his spirit to, you know, partner with this part of the brain or something, words that I didn't even know. But he was giving me by the spirit these words to pray over my husband. So there's no time and distance between our spirits, right? So his spirit was still fully awake, even though he's, you know, having surgery. I don't even know how much under anesthesia he was, but I know that his spirit was able to receive. And the Lord had me continue that process through that whole thing, through rehab, through all of those spaces. And, you know, my husband is pretty much 100%, you know, from that stroke. You know, still just a few little weak things here and there that, you know, you might notice. But, I mean, the Lord really, I think, utilized all different ways. But one of the things was that I blessed his spirit continually during that process. When he really couldn't communicate yet and was frustrated, I would bless his spirit and he would settle down. Like, there are ways that we can use this tool. So ways that we can engage with our spirit, grow our spirit, you know, just mature it, have our spirit be in that place where it's what I would maybe call in the seat of dominion, where it's in dominion over the soul and over the body, but in submission to the Holy Spirit fully. So we can engage our spirit just by talking to our spirit. I mean, just to say, Spirit, submit to the Holy Spirit today and come forth and lead this day. I mean, something that simple in the morning can be acknowledging our spirit and beginning to engage it and grow it. We can bless the spirit of others. We can bless our children's spirits. We can bless our grandchildren, our spouse, our friends. I bless my grandchildren's spirits from my house to their house. In other words, we don't have to be in the same room with them to bless their spirit. Again, I don't believe there's any time and distance that we get to bless their spirit from wherever we are to wherever they are. And there are interesting stories, you know, that come back because of prayers that I've prayed and ways that I've blessed their spirit and things that they come and say to me that I know are direct impact of what the Lord has had me praying over them. We can bless babies in the womb. Their spirit is fully packed, fully loaded, fully there. And we can begin to bless them. There's been a lot of studies that I've gotten to see from Arthur Burke, who wrote a book that I'll share with you in a minute, where he's done studies where they would choose particular people and like bless the baby every day with joy while it's in the womb. And when that baby's born, it has such an abundance of joy that there's no way that you could ever say that it's not true. Like, I mean, it's like they get this over deposit, right, of joy. It's just so big inside of them because they've been blessed while they were in the womb. We can legitimize our spirit by speaking truth over it and speaking the word of God over it. Like our spirit can hear truth and know truth. The difference to me between the soul and the spirit is I feel like my soul has to figure things out and wants to process it because we are processing it through our brain, through that processing. But our spirit hears truth and it's just like, yes. And our spirit can release something with the same ease. Our spirit, we might have to process through quite a bit. You know, we have to forgive and, you know, let's walk through this process. Our spirit can just go, whoop, here it is. Like if someone, for instance, has a loss in their family and there's grief being held in their spirit, they can just say, Spirit, give it to Jesus. And so easily the spirit is able to let go because it's like it knows the truth. Very different than the processing of the soul. We can instruct our spirit in certain places. There are some people even here. Actually, Kylan and Rebecca, I think, use this tool for blessing your spirit for surgery. So we can actually bless our spirit ahead of going into like a surgery or, you know, some medical procedure we're going to have done. And we can instruct our spirit to turn its face toward Father to receive the things that are needed. We can instruct our spirit to, with the Holy Spirit, heal faster, bring somebody out of anesthesia faster, engage in some space more quickly. Like our spirit is able with God to bring things quickly to bear that sometimes would be harder if we were not using the spirit. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the information that I feel like is important for us to understand. And the difference between the Holy Spirit and our human spirit, I think, is really significant. that we understand that, yes, the Holy Spirit, we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, refueled in the Holy Spirit, hopefully every day, like Matt talks about standing under the waterfall. But we also can acknowledge our human spirit every day. And as we do, and as we utilize some of these tools, it will grow, it will mature, it will be able to be more forward and more present. And we'll notice that our spirit and our soul will begin to work together like they're yoked together with the Holy Spirit. And it will help us in a lot of ways to just engage life in a way that we're kind of like that verse that said, worship in spirit and truth. It's like we can live in that place of spirit leading with the Holy Spirit.